You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Holding call against Josh Sitton early in the game was almost comical.
He admitted that play got him a little winded.
You know, Ryan Grant had a great first half, and of course, he had played.
Like, oh, great, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, but you know what? He really wasn't that bad.
And they're doing it with a practice squad player, a senior citizen, and a dude that had zero faith in 2 weeks ago.
Said hopefully that when he leaked into the stands, nobody thought he was shorter than they thought he'd be.
Out of the pocket.
How you like me now?
This is Out of the Pocket. I'm Kelly. She is Colleen. We are the Angels of PocketDoppler.com. Joining us as always is the deposed despotic little dictator himself, Richard Chang of DicksFavorite.com. And the sun came out this weekend, the weather got warm, and we have a whole bunch of new Packers. It was draft weekend, and what a weekend it was.
I thought you were going to talk about your bees.
Oh, my bees. Yeah, I also got 4 pounds of bees that didn't get stung. And they're fabulous. I have like 100,000 bees. Hooray.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of bees.
They come by the pound. It's like bees by the pound. Kind of like a jelly bean, but they sting.
It would have been nice if the Packers got the honey badger. It would have been appropriate for your bee-filled weekend.
No. I don't want... My bees are nice. They're not big, giant, 200-pound sacks of drama.
Oh, God.
Who have drug problems.
Yeah.
And speaking of giant sacks of drama, San Diego, he is yours.
Mantateo?
And his dead girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I think the Packers had a fairly drama-free weekend. I don't think there were any huge surprises in the draft. Ted being Ted, wheeled and dealed, and duped other teams out of lots of their picks. And, we've got a whole new roster.
Yeah, it wasn't drama-free in this household, I'll tell you that much. I don't think there was a single pick that went by that I wasn't screaming at the television for somebody else.
I'm shocked.
This is one of the first drafts that I've ever even cared about, and granted, we had our little assignment at, like, Packers Talk Radio Network, so... I had those defensive line shaded glasses while I watched the entire draft, but he didn't get anybody that I wanted. Nobody.
Yeah, and because he didn't get anybody you wanted, none of us actually researched the actual guy we picked.
Right.
Honestly, I didn't think Tone Jones would fall that far down anyway. But it is what it is, and we have like 6'6", 280 pounds, of long arms, big hands, and a lot of speed.
Yeah. I'll give... I didn't go back to listen to the interview, so I forgot. But Dolkin and I were talking about the defensive lineman on and off the recording, and he wrote down Tone Jones, and this was, like, weeks ago. And I guess it would have made sense for us to talk about it more from, like, Ted's perspective, because as we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago for our draft special... These are the kind of guys that Ted drafts, but I was just so stuck. Maybe it was wishful thinking on my part that he would get somebody that fit like the blue chip model that we were talking about that I disregarded. I was like, who's this guy? Oh, he's less than 300 pounds. I don't want to talk about him. And sure enough,
yes.
Dolko was right. That's who we got.
And if you look back into the conversation, you wanted a big, fatty, Incredible Hulk defensive tackle, and
yep.
I was more drawn towards the defensive end, so... It's interesting to see how it panned out because you look at Jones and he's like what C.D. Angeli referred to the other night as a tweener. He could be a linebacker. He could be a defensive end. He's definitely on the skinny side where Dolko would give him the thumbs down there because I think he does need to bulk up.
Yeah. Well, a tweener, to me, especially in this defense, is just going to be falling on his ass all the time. Like, I mean, again, I'm coming from the perspective just because I, like, scouted the defensive line stuff the past few weeks, but... That's where all of our problems start, I feel. They're all up front. And the fact that we have nobody up in the front that is a big, fat body that can regularly command double teams, you know, that exposes our linebackers, that exposes our secondary, and they have the opportunity in the first, like, six rounds to get guys that were on my list, and I kept watching, and I kept following on Twitter, and I kept looking on the internet, and they never picked any of them, not a single guy that I had listed. And it was driving me bonkers.
So, Ted being Ted, let's face it, there's a reason he gets paid to do this, and we don't. And this is kind of what I was talking about earlier, and this is not disparaging of Richard's desired draft choices or anybody else, but I don't the reason I have a hard time following the draft, I like to watch it. I like to know who we drafted. I like to know their stories. And like, we have the three Illinois State guys that are all going to get to play together in training camp that played together last year. That's really cool stuff. But, you know, frankly, I don't know more than the guy does. I would have even said that when I was pissed at him about Favre. I don't know more than he does. Let him do what he does. He's not going to listen to us. He doesn't care what we think. And we just kind of have to embrace these guys as they get chosen, bring them in, support them. To me, that's our job, if you will, as a fan. And we hope they do well. And if they don't, they move on. And if they do, they stay. And we support them even more. So I can't get that emotionally invested in who we draft. If it's somebody I happen to follow or know from a college career offhand, then that's a little bit different. But still, you know, again, that's not to say people shouldn't. It's just that's where I come from.
Yeah, but Colleen, thousands, if not millions, of Packers fans are listening to us right now and want to know why we disagree with Ted. I mean,
right.
It's imperative. It's imperative that we make our opinions known, and we shout to the heavens why Ted is wrong.
And I don't have a problem saying what my opinion is. All I'm saying is that I'm not yelling at my TV while I'm watching the draft. And that's fine. That's my point. I'm not now during a game. Am I yelling at the TV? Hell yes. During the draft now,
okay.
It's kind of like, hey, who do we pick? Great. Okay. Well, let's go with that. Is he good? Is he bad? Yeah, I definitely have my opinions about who he picked.
Well, how do you guys?
I'm not as serious about it as you are.
How do you guys want to go over this? Because I have like a theory, but it's kind of a meta conversation. So do you want to break it down pick by pick, or do you just want to kind of jump into the 2013 draft pool and see what we splash?
Well, let's go with your theory because I think we can kind of weave in some of the other picks. And whatnot.
Okay.
Before we get started, I just want to point out that I think he's not the model of what we wanted for defense, but it's refreshing to know that Ted acknowledged yes, we have some deficits in defense. I'm hopeful that Jones was drafted to fill the void that's been missing since Colin Jenkins left for Philly. And I'm so glad that we didn't re-sign him when they let him go, because he would have been sloppy seconds at the time, and he was past his prime. This is a 20-ish kid, and if you look at his Twitter profile picture, he is all muscle. He is not a fatty at all. He is built, and he looks powerful.
Yeah.
And I think he can put on the weight. I mean, let's face it, it's only April, right? I mean, he's got some time. He can do this, and he could continue to bulk up naturally, one hopes, over time, even into next season. But he's got some time. If he really starts focusing on it now, I think he can be just fine. He's slim now. That doesn't mean he can't be bigger by the time he's actually facing people in live games.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We don't really know how accurate these poundages are. So he might have been 283 pounds when he was 18, and God knows what he
right.
is now. But if my theory is right, he might not gain any weight at all, and they might not want him to. When I look down the draft list, I see two defensive ends that, in my opinion, are too light, too short, too small. I see two offensive tackles that are kind of project offensive tackles. They're both going to play. I think they played right tackle or left tackle in college, but they have the pro skills of a guard. So they're going to have to learn a brand new position. I see two running backs for Mike McCarthy offense that never really runs the ball, and or at least hasn't up until this point. I see a bunch of transitional players. And on the defensive side of the ball, they drafted a cornerback as kind of an insurance policy in case they don't get... Who's our cornerback that is up for a contract? Is it Shields or is it...
Shields.
Okay. In case they don't get Shields.
Shields is a restricted free agent.
So I see a bunch of players that the Packers got for transitions and insurance, and I think that they're going to get. I think that Mike is the only person saving capers at this point, and this is the last year that he's there. And they'll either go as a base 4-3 or much more of a hybrid and put four down linemen starting in 2014.
Yeah,
and honestly, a hybrid defense is intriguing to me because, again, it takes that predictability out of it.
Yeah.
Are you the 4-3 or are you the 3-4? Are you somewhere in between? I was really disappointed with all the talk of pulling out that psycho package last year that it really never came to fruition. And that could be because there were a lot of injuries where everyone that needed to be part of that all dropped like flies.
Right.
But what I like about Jones is I think he has the potential for a lot of speed. Can he get into that B gap? It's yet to be seen. And what I'm hopeful is that he can read the option.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that very first game, we're going up against San Francisco at Candlestick, and you know they're going to be pulling it out, and you're going to have a very emboldened quarterback there that's going to think he can ram it down his throat, ram it down our throat a second time.
Yeah. That was the...
Well, I thought that was interesting. I was just going to say, I thought that was an interesting thread that I saw throughout the draft, and not with Packer fans. More with the national media about did the Packers draft appropriately to face the read option or and other teams as well, but obviously the Packers kind of got their butts handed to them at the hands of one young man from San Francisco and his offense. And I don't know if we drafted appropriately to face that. I don't know if anybody did. And that concerns me because, let's face it, the 49ers were good. They drafted well. They've done some really good trades. Mm-hmm. We have to be ready for them. I'm not sure that we are. And if Dom is not ready this year, he should be gone because this is crazy.
Well,
it's not that hard to defend this crap.
Well, to speak to your point, that's what Dolka texted me as I was going crazy, and I was texting him a bunch of like expletive-filled text, especially when we got Daytone Jones, and his thing was that he has got in that, what is it, the Pac-12 now, or Pac-10, Pac-a-million.
Yeah, Pac-12.
He had experience facing read option offenses, but I mean, is a 283-pound defensive end ever going to chase down an athletic quarterback like Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick or, you know, Cam Newton? Like, those guys aren't going to chase them down, like, in the open field. I feel like the way that pro defenses shut down the read option stuff is to be assignment sure and gap sure and do a lot of this stuff based on assignment. It's not just a bunch of open field tackles, athletes versus athletes. It was more about the scheme.
Right, but if he has experience playing in the scheme, I think
that's really interesting.
Because you could see last year that those guys had no clue. None. And they haven't been prepared.
What were you going to say, Kelly?
And it's interesting because you have Dolka saying, and Dolka and others saying, are we drafting to stop the read, the option?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have others like Mike Freeman over at CBS Sports saying, oh, they're drafting to go up against the NFC North, which nobody does that.
Right.
So it's interesting that you're having outsiders looking in saying, oh, we did it one way, or no, we did it the other way. And... yeah, I think, like you said, I think we've got some of the people we drafted in lower down had the potential. I think we finally got a nose tackle. Granted, he may be he was an unsigned free agent. We're talking about Gilbert Pena from Ole Miss.
Oh, right. That was the other part of my point, the transition part, is that we got these light defensive ends, and then we didn't draft a big fat body, but then we signed a guy off the street that, you know, is a prototypical, like, size and weight of a nose tackle. So, like, what I don't understand really what it is, because you can't pair that nose tackle with the defensive ends that we drafted. It's like two different defenses, two different types of players and schemes. I just don't understand what their logic is.
He drafted some 4-3s, but then he also drafted a 3-4 scheme.
Right.
So yeah, it seems a little schizophrenic, and I don't know what to make of Dom Capers, because. Yeah, there's been rumors they went down, to A&M to learn how to play against the option.
Right.
So it sounds like making at least the motions to say we're going to try to change. But until I actually see Dom Capers change his scheme, and I'm still a firm believer that he is holding on to hope that he'll play some offense that's playing the West Coast offense, like, circa 1993.
Right.
Offense has evolved significantly since then.
And it's either that, or they're trying to hide behind injuries, or they're just being completely unapologetic about it. And I was talking football at work with a buddy of mine today, and I was like, the Packers seem like, and we have all recent seasons to go by this with Don Capers, is that they let people march down the field. They do not care about yardage. They want to get them into the red zone and hold them the field goals. And they don't care if they score in every single possession as long as it's only 3 points. But when you play against the good teams, they're going to find a way to get 7 points on you. And then if you give up a turnover, then you've already lost. You know what I mean? And it's like you have to find a way. And I feel like they did this in the 90s with Blitzburg. You know, you got to shut teams down 3 and outs. You can't just let them march down the field for 4 quarters consecutively. Like, you're going to lose football games.
What I don't like about the bend but don't break defensive scheme is the defense is out there a heck of a lot of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't care if it's garbage yards and they don't score. You have an exhausted defense by third quarter, and that's when you open the door to let the other team in.
And not only do you
have
an
exhausted... That's when you hold them for 3 quarters and then just fall apart.
Yeah.
Because you're just simply exhausted and can't go any further.
Well, you have an exhausted defense and you have a rusty quarterback. A quarterback that you just gave $120 million to. Like... You don't want him sitting on the sideline with his baseball cap on the entire game watching your defense march up and down the field. Like, it's just stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe hopefully this fresh draft class can add some speed, add some strength. And maybe, and I'm hopeful, like I said, cautiously optimistic that maybe we can have some change this year. Because let's face it, there's been a big void since Colin Jenkins went. He wasn't stellar, but he was pretty consistent. And we've been lacking that consistency and, quite frankly, lacking that speed for the past 2 years.
Yeah. Well,
meanwhile, Eric Walden got paid a mint for his mediocrity and got down in Indianapolis. Ha ha! Their problem now.
Well, I haven't exactly seen all the quotes coming out of Lambeau. I know that the position coaches and Ted did a couple of press conferences this weekend. But did you guys hear any quotes, or do you just feel like the draft picks are clues enough that they just are going to hope that Daytone Jones and Nick Perry being added to this defense are going to be enough to take attention away from Clay Matthews and kind of wreak havoc along the line?
The one word I've seen just in buzzwords for several of the different interviews is Capers used it and McCarthy used it is explosive and versatile.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like they were drafting for a little more speed. And perhaps versatile, you know, that's really a loaded word. You know, what does that mean? Does that mean they can be willing to switch between different offense or defensive schemes? Is that where they're not going to pull the painfully predictable Dom Capers 3-4?
Right. To me, explosive and versatile, I mean, I don't know how many Packers snaps I watched this year where they had one down lineman and, like, 20 cornerbacks. You know, like, that... It seems like when they want to get gimmicky and throw, like, crazy stuff out there, they get all the fat bodies off the line. They even get rid of some linebackers, and they've just got a bunch of track... it's like a track meet out there, but then there's no pressure to the quarterback, and they can't tackle anybody.
And then they can throw the 50-yard bomb because there's nothing getting in his face.
Yeah, exactly, because he has, you know, 10, 15, or that's an exaggeration, but he's got all the time in the world out there when, you know, a play should just be like 3 steps or 5 steps and then the ball is out, where against our defenses where we only put one down lineman, the guy just drops back and he's got all the time in the world to, you know, let the routes break and have a play develop and he can hit an open guy. Sooner or later, a guy's going to be open. Doesn't matter how many defensive backs you put back there, you know.
Case in point, the fail Mary. I think that's lesson learned, you know. Don't put all of your eggs in the backfield.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, the backfield players that we have, they're all really good, but they're good for, you know, 5 or 7 seconds. They aren't good for 10 seconds. They can't, you know, trail guys in broken plays. You got to get pressure on the quarterback.
But if we sport, like, you know, like you said, 50 guys in the backfield, that's like conceding, oh, we're just going to sport you 30 yards because we're going to give up.
Right.
I'd like to point out for our listeners that there's a mini, I wouldn't call it a throwback weekend, but a mini revenge weekend that might be brewing for the Seahawks preseason game. So if anyone's interested and you want to show up, I think there's going to be a gang of us that are going to be throwing crap at Russell Wilson and yelling at Pete Carroll and So it might be a good time.
And I think that's the third game of the preseason.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so if any of you guys want to go to that game 6 months from now, I'll give you Colleen's home phone number.
All right, there we go.
Or John Rayhorse, because we're both going, so.
I may. Depends if I have vacation time to burn.
Vacation? That's, like, just leave work 30 minutes early.
Dude, I have to drive 3 hours. It's a 7 o'clock game.
Oh.
That's the beauty of living 25 miles away. I get to brag. Oh, sorry.
There's no fast train in Wisconsin? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, and let me just laugh.
Governor Walker doesn't believe in light rail.
Because that's like communist or something. But no, I have Highway 10 and a bunch of... I get Highway 10 at like 65 miles an hour. I can draft behind a truck and try not to splatter deer on the way there.
Okay,
yep. Especially that type of deer.
Small state problems. So let's transition away from our defensive drafts. We actually, picked one guy I kind of wishlisted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not surprised he went in the second round. My brother, who is a grad from the University of Alabama, was predicting that Eddie Lacy would actually be a second or third rounder, where you had Leroy Butler having an absolute cow Thursday night that we didn't take Eddie Lacy in the first round. Well, ha-ha, buddy, we got him in the second round.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you, you don't want to take a second-round talent in the first round and the value of the pick and blah, 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 it actually panned out. But that kind of stuff drives me nuts, that, like, conventional wisdom. They're like, oh, I really like this player, but I'm only going to take him if he's the, you know, 200th pick in the third round. I'm not going to do it in the 199th pick because, that, you know, he's not that valuable. Like, I just don't understand that. If you like a player and you think he can play for your team, just pick him. Who cares where it is?
Well, I think that happened. It's Ted was playing chicken in the third round, really wanted, what was his first name, Stedman? Bailey, the wide receiver from West Virginia. Was it West Virginia, right?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I think he was, you know, really banking and playing chicken trying to get this guy, and when he couldn't get him and he fell like two picks ahead of us, that's when he traded down.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you saw Twitter explode, and there was an angry pastry on Twitter. Old Bag of Donuts was the maddest pastry out there. He was just madder than hell that he traded the old down. You watch out for the rabid donut, jeez.
Dude,
just call him the mad pastry from now on.
See him going nuts, though, about people tipping off picks? It's like, get off of Twitter.
Chris goes nuts about everything. I love him.
I didn't understand. I thought that was a joke. I saw a few tweets, and I didn't know if it was like a talk radio talking point that everybody was debating. But people were actually getting super fired up, wanting to watch the draft live and listen to the announcements of the players live. And it's like, what is this, 1993? Like, we watched the presidential elections go by. We got all that news from Boston on Twitter. Like, we get all this news on Twitter. It's like the democracy of information on the internet. And now you're going to bitch and moan about the NFL draft in 2013? Like, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was
so
dumb.
Seriously, it's like, don't watch the draft.
Right.
Don't watch the draft or don't watch Game of Thrones live on Twitter because you will get spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how will
I... Because that's what I hate that with any show. Oh, my gosh, don't mention spoilers. Well, either watch it with everyone else.
Right.
And then, or don't be surprised if somebody blabs on the internet, because hello, 10 gazillion people.
It's like I always knew that Donald Driver was safe on Dancing with the Stars, and people would apologize to me, because I was in Idaho then, and, you know, so they were an hour ahead watching here, and they're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm on Twitter. I obviously want to know that he's safe. I don't mind watching it knowing that he made it. I'm good with that. I don't get it either. That's kind of silly.
I remember, it's so funny how time goes by and what is like a big deal. I remember when I was a kid, we used to have, like, this is going to be really dorky, by the way. So if we have a noise effect, a sound effect for like my dorkiness stories, this should go there. We used to have American Idol parties at my house when I was a kid, and we'd have like a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls come over and watch American Idol and eat popcorn. And I mean, as a kid, I guess back then, like, you know, American Idol was shown on the East Coast 3 hours before us, but I had no idea about any of that. And I guess then, at the time, if I would have found out who got voted off or something like that, then I guess I would have been pissed off, but I was also 13. Like, we're all grown-ups now, you know, get over it. If you hear some information, it's pretty easy. Just turn your computer off, like, turn your phone off, don't look at it. I don't understand. Did you guys second screen the draft the whole time? Were you, like, looking for information and looking for tips, or were you trying to avoid it?
I was watching. I am one of these people that likes to be spoiled. I like to know right away. Like, in the first round, there was a rumor. Somebody just said, you know, Manti Te'o to the Vikings and forgot the question mark, and oh my God, did Twitter just explode?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Vikings had, like, 3 picks in the first round, right?
And everybody thought that they would take him.
That is nuts. Did the Bears draft a middle linebacker to replace Urlacher?
What was Howie Long's kid? Is he offensive or defense?
I think that he was an offensive lineman, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an offensive line, which... Yeah, that's who they took in the first round, was Howie Long's kid.
Oh, okay. Because I saw that story. Yeah, a couple days before the draft, I started seeing Dayton Jones' name pop up a lot with the Packers, so I knew that that was kind of like something brewing. But I didn't know if it was like a smokescreen or not for another pick. And then I started seeing a lot of storylines about the Bears, like, potentially drafting Urlacher's successor, and then people were speculating whether they would get Manti Te'o, and I know that I read that story a bunch of times.
And then, meanwhile, there was Minneapolis that gave everything, the kitchen sink, and in a case of PBR away for one wide receiver. And I'm sorry, he's not a Julio Jones-quality wide receiver, where, yes, the Falcons did draft everything away to get a Hall of Fame-quality wide receiver. So it was kind of comical. It's like, yes, Vikings are still the Vikings, and showing their desperation.
Who did they pick up? I thought the only wide receiver worth a damn was that kid that the Rams got.
I think he was one of was he the other West Virginia wide receiver? He might have been.
I don't know. Did you guys watch the videos? And I don't even think I wrote his name down because I watched the videos and I thought it was like a gag reel. There, the wide receiver that we picked up that is like 250 pounds and like he's like built like a refrigerator. He's just like straight muscle and steel. He played for, like, some BS college, and I don't know where the hell he played.
Okay,
but...
we're not going to... Okay, that BS college is Grand Valley State University. It's part of the Michigan school system. It's outside Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my 7 degrees of separation with Grand Valley State, they're, you know, just barely a Division I. They whopped... I don't even think they are Division I. They whopped my undergrad, Valparaiso University, my freshman year, 91-0.
Oh, well, I
my
watched the guys...
My undergrad was the worst team on the planet.
I watched
aren't
the
they
guys...
Often? Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I watched the guy's highlight reel, and it looked like he was playing the back of a YMCA against a bunch of 12-year-olds. Like,
well, it's a small division.
He would catch the ball and just run through an entire defense and score a touchdown. It's like, I'm not that impressed by this. If I went and played with a bunch of 6-year-olds, I would look exactly like that too. Like, I just didn't see how I was impressed at all.
I have Valley isn't really big football.
What were you saying, Colleen?
I have two words for you: Donald Driver. Shush.
Yeah, but I mean, that, at least like this guy's videos looked like it was his mom's home videos, like on her like a camcorder, not even a digital one, like the kind with the cassette tape rolling around. It wasn't even on television. Like, at least Alcorn State, like, guys have come out of that program besides Donald Driver, I think. Who else came from there?
Maybe.
All right, none come to mind. But you know what but at least he played on TV. Like, this guy's videos were literally a camcorder. Like, from his mom.
But you know what? At 250, are they going to see if he wants to be a tight end?
I don't know. How tall is he?
I don't know.
I don't know. But the tight end thing, especially with Mike, it seems like he really wants to block. He might just be a freaking big-ass, bruising wide receiver like Calvin Johnson, but I don't think he's nearly as tall. He might be 6'4 or something. What's Calvin Johnson, like 6'7? 6'8?
7 feet, you know, 8 feet.
Yeah. He's huge.
He's
married.
But, you know, getting back to two, we didn't think that Ted never drafts a running back, and we drafted two.
Yeah. And do you guys know anything about Jonathan Franklin? Because a lot of people were super stoked that we got him, too.
I don't.
I guess he's a powerhouse. I think they, like, one of the quotes I saw was, if one of them goes down, the other one is still there. And this could it be something reactionary? Yes, because you were an endangered species if you were a Packers running back last year. Everyone dropped like flies, either blew a knee out, destroyed something, or got sent packing to come back as a sloppy second. I did hear as of last night, James Starks was on the trading block. They're happy with their two draft picks, so they're willing to get rid of him.
I mean, trade him for what?
Right.
What is anybody getting?
I don't know. It was at the seventh round. He was on the trading block last night. It was being known. You know, Ted wanted some fresh meat, obviously.
Yeah. Well, McCarthy's hated Starks for at least the past 18 months. I don't know what's going on in the locker room. The reporters like to make jokes about it, but I haven't heard anybody say, like, actually what McCarthy hates about James Starks. But he was in McCarthy's doghouse for sure, especially last year, don't you think?
Well, he didn't run for crap. How's that?
Yeah, but they weren't even practicing him. They didn't even, like, suit him up some games when he was totally healthy.
Well, he had a turf toe, I thought, didn't he?
He did at one point.
Yeah, but I feel like the doctors cleared him, and McCarthy, like, wouldn't even suit him up a couple games last year. I might be mistaken that.
Speaking of people who were getting shopped, Des Bishop was getting shopped today. Apparently.
He was?
No, I saw that. Did I read that today? Today's been so long. I thought that I read that the last day of the draft.
No, I read it today.
Oh.
I don't know that anybody... I don't know that that's actually happening. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The only thing it says to me is that his rehab isn't going well. And if his rehab isn't going well, why would anybody want him?
Yeah. Who? Well, they thought they didn't clear DJ Smith medically, and he was on the was a free agent for like 1 hour, and then the San Diego Chargers picked him up. So I don't know what that means. Maybe the Packers are just being really picky about medical concerns.
Which then tells me then that all the speculation about Eddie Lacy's hamstring is all for naught. The biggest wank I saw about him today was, oh my god, he had toe surgery, but that was over a year ago for turf toe.
So he played a full season on that?
He played a championship season with a rehab toe.
Oh, okay.
Toe.
Yeah,
remember,
I'm not that concerned about it.
University of Alabama was the national champion last year, and he played a big role in that. And the good thing is, yeah, he was out a lot of the 2011 season because of that turf toe. But unlike who he often gets compared to, Monte Ball, he doesn't have the mileage the ball has on. He's got still some fairly fresh legs, because that year he didn't play a lot was the year Trent Richardson went in the top of the draft and was really one of the rock stars, where he had time to rehab and develop.
Okay.
I don't think he's as good as a Richardson. I think that reflected in his draft. He went down to the second round. But I think he has some explosiveness that our offense was lacking for many years. He, on average, gets 6.8 yards per carry, which I think is more than any of the running backs we've had in the past. Granted, you're only as good as your offensive line, but I think throwing him into the mix, and also Jonathan Franklin, and alternating the two, if they're both as good as they look on paper, if you have two solid running backs, one, you run less of a chance of them getting hurt because you can rotate them in and out and keep legs fresh. Two, what does that mean for John Kuhn?
We talked about that on this podcast before, John Kuhn might be gone. I didn't really believe it at the time, but if they're gonna ship Starks out and they want to give the job to Lacy and Franklin and hold on to DeJuan Harris, I don't really see. I mean, what are you gonna do? Have like a super wing T in the back, and you know, have like four running backs back there and do the little ballet dance moves and hand the ball off, like, you know. You can only hand it off to so many guys, you know. McCarthy is like allergic to running the ball in the first place. I don't know what he's going to do with four, you know, starting caliber running backs.
But do the tea leaves kind of really look like it's an old dog's willing to try new tricks? Because yeah, if you have strictly a passing game, your quarterback's going to be flat on his back half the time. Is this a move, one, to protect Aaron? And two, to add that depth we've never had before.
Well, I mean,
into the distant past, we've never had we've had people like Dorsey Levens, we've had Amon Green, but we've not had an explosive running back ever, for that matter. And what comes to mind is Hornig, you know? And that one's even more than that.
But are these guys, you're going to have to tell me because I don't watch, are these guys explosive? I felt like all the post-draft analysis that I read about them was they're good between the tackles, they'd be good in goal line, they have a nose for the end zone. Are they guys that are going to run north and south and get, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards on first down, or are they guys that were going to punch on third and goal?
Lacy has the potential for really tight spins.
Okay.
And like I said, 6.8 yards per carry is a lot more than what Starks was getting. And it was a consistent 6.8 yards was his average. And
yeah, but it's against college players.
It was right. Against SEC, though, with monster defenses.
Yeah, but even those guys, half of their schedule is against, you know, BS teams that
like Grand
play
Valley State.
And, yeah.
Grand Valley.
Yeah.
Valparaiso. You know, if you want to feel really good about your team, go play my undergrad Valpo. You will womp them into the multiple digits.
Yeah, like Boise State, you'll do pretty well. Let's face it.
Because it doesn't, like, even the SEC, don't they just play, like, two hard games a year, like the SEC championship game and then the national championship game? Like, is
well, the downside of it is the SEC championship game is really tough. And often it's tough, if not tough, and then any bowl game. Like, this year's game, it was Alabama and Georgia, and it was a really tough game. And it could have gone either way. And in the past, it's been... 2 years ago, it was LSU in Alabama, and it was the repeat of the national championship game. So it was a national championship game twice. So it's a division nothing to sneeze at. Yeah, they have some BS games, but they have to play each other. They have to play LSU. They have to play now Texas A&M, who is a tough team. You know, you've had teams that were tough in the past, not so much now, like Tennessee, but Georgia's a really tough team too.
Yeah, don't mention Georgia to me. I'm sour on Georgia right now. The wound is still fresh. They could have had, I forget the name of the other guy, but one of the players that I wanted so bad was Kwame Gathers. Nobody drafted him. He went completely undrafted. He was like ranked in the top 10 of defensive linemen in the entire draft. He went all rounds without being drafted. He was an unsigned free agent. The Packers could have picked him up, and the Chargers nabbed him today. He was like one of the big giant fat boys that I wanted. He's like Andre the Giant was black. That's like how big he is. And we didn't get him. I'm so sour about it. So don't mention Georgia. That was my point.
And just speaking of unsigned free agents, today that discus player from
Lawrence Okoye or whatever, right?
San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco and Seahawks. Go ahead, Colleen.
Yeah, San Francisco and their quirky picks.
They got Quentin Dial from San Francisco also. That was another guy on our list that we talked about.
Yeah,
they got,
I would have been happy with.
The San Francisco and Seattle are going to beat the crap out of each other next year. They got...
Good.
I like their draft.
Let them pound each other, which is great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And it doesn't affect us because they're in the AFC, but I think it was the Broncos got Jesse Williams, right? One of the other players that we talked about. And Monte Ball, yeah. It was, for a while there, it was like the Broncos were drafting what I thought the Packers should draft. So it was like the Packers would be a few picks before or later on, and then the Broncos would go and they'd get somebody that I wanted. It's driving me bonkers. Who got Sylvester Williams? I was going to call him Sylvester Stallone. Who got that guy Sly? Who did?
Speaking of hideously bad plastic surgery, just say no. You're starting to look like that puppet named Madam. Stop.
That's awesome.
Okay, for all the youngins like Chang, just Google puppet.
Like, who's Madam?
Google puppet and Madam and solid gold. You'll get this hideous thing that looks like a cross between Sylvester Stallone and Madonna.
I don't know who you're talking
like,
about.
Who the hell are you talking about? Exactly. I knew it.
Like, old. Just do it.
How could you not know who Madam is?
Madam?
Madam. That's the name of the puppet.
Never heard of her. Was she on Mr. Rogers?
Oh, Solid Gold.
He hasn't heard of that either.
No, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
And Kelly and Colleen show their age.
Old again.
Do you guys ever want to get into what 50% of our salary cap is going to be paying for over the next 6 years, or are we going to avoid that?
Because the next plan is, how can I get him to pay for my children's college education? Girls, go over and mow Aaron's lawn. Go watch his conference. He'll pay for their college.
Run into him at Pancake Place and act obnoxious. He loves that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, Williams went to the Seahawks.
I was gonna say the easiest way is to get him catch him in like a precarious situation and blackmail him for the money.
My six-year-old's gonna do this? What?
Maybe have her start volunteering at the Mac Fund, go into one of those dark closets or something, you don't know, after hours.
Oh, gosh. Okay, the opinions of Chick-Tang do not reflect those of Out of the Pocket or the Packers Podcast.
Or Colleen. No kidding. Oh, my God.
You guys are such chickens.
Oh, my God. Please don't sue us.
No, we just don't care. Apparently, you care. We don't.
Oh, I care more than anything.
Oh, yes, you do. Chick-Tang's caring face. Yes. We now have the most wealthy, this butt-stinking rich football player in the history of ever.
Yeah.
So, and let's see if he comes out then.
And the highest paid outside linebacker in the NFL right now, too, right? Or maybe, like, second highest paid?
All
right,
can I have my snarky comment now?
Sure.
Well, at least Aaron Rodgers plays 16 games. I have yet to see Clay Matthews play more than 10.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you give Clay Matthews his money for per games that he plays, that's a record-breaking contract right there.
Yep.
Which, you know, maybe, yeah, you needed lighter bodies to take some of the burden off of Matthews. I don't know why he is so prone to injury. That is an issue. It is still a big question mark hanging over his head.
Well, maybe somebody should be hiding in a closet seeing if he's taking anything, since that's always the rumor.
Oh.
Hey,
yeah.
you're the one that started talking about dark closets, dude.
As long as you guys are Google searching stuff, Google search Clay Matthews as a high school senior. He probably weighs 140 soaking wet.
Yep,
yeah.
He did.
Well,
Better yet, Clay Matthews posted a link onto YouTube, he was at a game with his siblings watching his dad play when he was with the Browns, and there's this little kid with a bowl cut. Hi, I'm Clay, I'm 9.
I hope that nothing like that ever pops up. But the other SC guys have been busted since they've been in the NFL, right?
Yep.
For using. Did Cushing went to USC, didn't he?
He's never gotten busted, but the rumors out there that he used.
Oh.
Then there was Richie Bush, who just admitted to, I took money under the table.
Yeah, everybody takes money.
Yeah, I know.
And who does this trace back to? Pete Carroll. Let's just point that out.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's Los Angeles. Have you ever paid LA rent? I've lived in LA. LA is expensive. You can't. If you're going to be a football player, let's see, you're going to live in downtown L.A. and, you know, show the ladies a good time in the nightlife, you're going to need a little bit of scratch.
Perhaps you should live in a dorm like the rest of the students. I'm just saying.
But the rest of the students are allowed to have, like, part-time jobs and stuff like that. If you're a college athlete, they don't even let you have a job. What are they supposed to do for money?
Wah, 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 wah.
What are they supposed to eat? How are they supposed to put gas in their car?
Actually, Richard, most Division I teams, they have a meal plan specifically for the athletes. Like at the University of Wisconsin, they have their own cafeteria, which is over at Union South, over by Camp Randall. They have their own chefs that provide. You know, they get that. It's part of their scholarship program. They get enrolled into the athletic meal plan, which is better than the slop. Everyone else gets the slab of the day in the dorms.
What if they want to go to McDonald's once in a while?
Then they go to McDonald's once in a while.
With what money?
With their money that God gave them.
Well, Mama and Daddy gave them.
They don't eat at McDonald's because they shouldn't eat at McDonald's because their bodies are finely tuned machines.
Oh, yeah. Mama and Daddy quit their day jobs the second that homeboy got a full ride scholarship to an SEC school.
Well, that's a problem, isn't it?
That's why they all jump out as soon as possible and try to get that contract in the NFL or the NBA.
Which is another sad truth.
Yeah.
So yeah, we could talk about the ethics of NCAA sports. Yeah, because I could see both
or the lack thereof.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's all a big scam. But we'll just keep it to the Rodgers and Matthews for
okay,
right now.
Okay, so once upon a time, Aaron Rodgers was a little college kid that rode a scooter to school. He did his pictures of him on a scooter. So he didn't have a car in college, he had a scooter. Oh, my God. I wasn't even that dorky.
And he was going to a Division I program on a scholarship. Oh, my God.
He had a scooter. And he, okay, he's gone from scooter awesome. To $40 million this year alone.
Yeah, big payday.
$40 million.
Yeah, well, the whole deal was $110 million. So, but if you break it down, if you average it out per year, he's still making less per year than Joe Flacco, where he's getting.
No, I thought that I read it's like $100,000 more per year than Joe Flacco I saw somewhere. Is that not true?
That might be this year, maybe, the actual salary.
All he cares about is he's making the most, period.
And that could have been $1 because the difference between Flacco's contract and Rodgers really came down to not a whole lot. It came down to bragging rights because it was how it was structured. Rodgers is getting a very front-loaded contract, which might be why Ted was bargain hunting this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing about this draft that we didn't get into, like, the big meta conversation is that Rodgers, most of Rodgers' money is going to come in the next 3 years. I don't have the Clay numbers in front of me, but that's still going to be a big cap hit. Those two guys over the next 3 to 4 years are going to be such a big part of the cap that these rookie contracts that we just drafted now or that we're coming off of from last year, those guys really have to play well for us, and they have to play well under those rookie contracts because we're not going to be able to afford anybody else. So,
but the rookie contracts do buy us some time.
Yeah, it gets us 3 years, but it doesn't buy us time if they are just kind of like dip your toe in the pool transitional picks that aren't going to have any effect on Sundays. That was a point that I missed in the beginning of the podcast.
And
we were talking about the contract.
Unfortunately, when you have an okay quarterback who just gets lucky and wins the Super Bowl, and yeah, I am going to disparage Joe Flacco because I don't think he's elite, and then they start commanding $100 million, just the nature of supply and demand, you've got this artificially trumped up contract that you kind of have to. Because
yeah.
I don't think it would have been this big of a deal if Flacco didn't get his deal. And oh
no,
my God,
I still think that
it would have been a
good dollars.
I mean,
the bar was raised that we have to pay more than Flacco.
I felt like even if Flacco didn't get his contract, Drew Brees kind of set the contract number where Rodgers was going to get well over $100 million, and it was probably going to be in the neighborhood that Drew Brees got. But, yeah, I mean, that was my only point. But I just think that reiterate, we really need rookie players from last year and this year and undrafted free agents that are going to play, you know, bargain basement contracts to really contribute a lot to this team because these two players, Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers,
they just
are going to take
up
a huge cap number.
But, yeah, and that brings up a point. So I do not understand why we're all so excited that Aaron Rodgers is the highest paid player in the NFL. I think he deserves it. I think he's done a fantastic job. I think that he has performed not only professionally on the field but off the field. He's kept his nose clean. He's done wonderful things for the Mac Fund. But there were people that were – they don't care if we just got hamstrung for the next 7 years. Oh, my gosh, he's getting paid more than anybody. Who the hell cares what he's getting paid?
Well, I think some fans take it as like a point of pride that we have like the number one guy.
I don't care.
But I see, I mean, I totally see your point. It could totally backfire. If we're going to give Aaron Rodgers $40 million this year, and that means that we can't be like San Francisco and Seattle and, well, the Jets aren't doing it, but or like Tampa Bay, and get guys that we think can help contribute, but, you know, we have to pay them, pay them to play, then, yeah, that's a problem, especially when we're drafting guys that, in my opinion, aren't going to do anything for us this year. So, you know, you basically have 10 picks of guys that aren't going to do squat, but they're playing for a minimum salary.
Because
and then you've got two super high-paid players that, you know, they're just 2 out of 22. They can't do it alone.
Right, and
that's a couple of thoughts.
You look at Kaepernick. He's in the second year or third year now of his rookie contract. He's making $700,000, $800,000. He's not making very much money this year. They can afford to spend a fortune.
Yeah, and Seattle.
We're hamstrung.
Seattle is the exact same way. Absolutely. When you look at their moves, I really feel like they're positioning themselves to win in these next 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
Because after the third year, they're going to have to give Russell Wilson a shit ton of money.
Absolutely.
So they're looking to bring a bunch of talent in for on 1 or 2 year contracts and try to win right now while they are still paying Russell Wilson like $500,000.
Yep.
I guess I'm not excited about it, but at the same time, I think it's the nature of the game when you suddenly have an elite quarterback. And we went years before. Think about, okay, we've been spoiled. We've had Favre before him. But before that, we had decades of mediocrity between Brett Favre and Bart Starr.
Yep.
And I think it's just the nature of when you have the talent, you have to pay the talent. And look at 2010. It was Aaron Rodgers, a couple of well-known wide receivers and a cast of a bunch of nobodies, and they won the Super Bowl. I think it can happen again. This is where Ted excels in building through the draft with a bunch of nobodies that he raises up. I think we have the potential, like we do every year, but I don't think we're absolutely hamstrung by Rodgers, because I think if it came down to that, I don't think he would get in the way. You look what happened with Tom Brady, and he restructured it to free up more cap money.
Yeah, but the way that this contract is structured, I think that it's structured to make sure that it's the last contract he ever signs. He'll never have to restructure anything. It's completely front-loaded, so it doesn't have, like, that poison pill at the end where, you know, they're going to owe him something, like, crazy when he's 34 years old. They owe him the most money right now. They're going to owe him $40 million. That's the most he'll ever get from this contract in 1 year.
Yeah, it's not a Peyton Manning contract, which is a good thing.
It's not even a Joe Flacco contract, because Joe Flacco's got a year in like 3 or 4 years, I think, of this contract where they're going to have to give him a huge bonus and a huge annual salary. And you know they're not going to pay that. You know that when that year comes, they're going to have to restructure the whole deal. Rodgers' contract isn't like that. They're going to give him all this money, and as long as he doesn't get another concussion or as long as he doesn't break his leg or get something crazy, he's going to retire when he's 36, and he's going to see every penny of this contract, every penny of it.
So this contract plus Clay Matthews, where does that leave B.J. Raji? Because he was the next big name. Is this the end of the Raji era? Or are we going to end up trying to dig deep and try to find some money for him somewhere next year? Because he's up. Well, his contract's up this year.
Well, that's the other thing about these picks. It goes with my theme of transitioning out. If we get these picks, and if we even do a hybrid defense starting this year, we might not need Raji's services at all. They might just want to replace him with a body of a similar size and weight, but without the first round price tag. You know what I mean?
But I really felt that we really missed Raji when he was out with his injuries last year, and that's when the defense really started to slide. He came back, and he and Matthews came back, and some stability was restored.
But the other thing is, if we transition out of this defense, we could put Raji where he wants to play anyway. He might lose a little bit of weight, and we can put him out on the end where he played in Boston College, and he could be, Raji could be a pass rusher, which is what he was naturally before anyway.
Which brings us to the first OTAs and the Fat Boys reported to camp fat and out of shape. I'm looking at you, B.J. Raji, Johnny Jolly, and there was one more that was fat and out of shape.
Was it
three of them?
Is C.J. Wilson a defensive lineman?
No, it wasn't him.
It
was Jolly and Raji and who? Shoot, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it. It's early. It's the same thing as that's
every
Jones.
Year they all show up fat. And
oh
out
my
of
God,
shape.
They're out of shape. It's like
call me in September. You know what?
Right.
Well, you guys are old enough to remember, one, when the dinosaurs walked around, the world was black and white, and when NFL players came to training camp and had to do jumping jacks to get in shape. They were doing jumping jacks and sit-ups.
I remember
and,
when they had to do up-downs. That's how old
right.
I am. Yeah,
and,
right.
I mean, they would
soccer. What are you talking about?
They would go home and drive trucks during the off-season and, sell cars and do whatever, and then they'd come home or they'd go to training camp and they'd have to play their way into shape during August.
But I still remember when I worked camp years ago when I was in high school, and Brent Fullwood showed up, talking about mediocre running backs, showed up like 20 pounds overweight, and he got put on a diet. And the angst of the high school and college kids who had enforced what he ate. Sorry, your coach said this is what you get.
And it's like, no!
Yeah,
what you can eat. I'm sorry, I do not want to get fired. I'm making minimum wage. Just back the hell off. The guy.
They had angst. See, I would love that. That would be awesome to tell some NFL player, here's what you're doing.
Is an NFL player's diet, though? I mean, they're burning 20,000 calories a day. You know, it's still like a 30-ounce steak and like and a dozen fried eggs on top of it with mashed potatoes and stuff. Like,
no,
what
case,
they have to
no
drink water instead of Gatorade.
No case of beer.
Yeah, no beer. No empty calories is all that it is.
Yeah, there was major angst that the fat boy showed up fat and out of shape. But, you know what, they have all a camp to get back into shape. And like Aaron Rodgers said at the end of his show last year, you enter camp at the best, you finish camp at the height of your conditioning, and it's all downhill until the next camp. Because you'll have this injury report during training camp that's, you know, a mile long of who didn't play, who's out, and you start camp at the height of your conditioning, and then you start getting beat on. That's why a lot of the vets hate going to camp, because it takes a toll on the body. They're not practicing as intensely as they have in the past, and that's part of the CBA. You know, there's less time in pads, there's less two-a-days. And I don't know if they got too soft. I know Mike McCarthy was not happy with their OTAs last year or their training camp. So I think we'll be seeing both of those revamp a little bit this year. Like, he was not happy how woefully unprepared they were heading into camp. Like, the mini camps weren't going well, and I think he's going to be, you know, Mr. No Nonsense come May.
Yeah, but what if that? How much of that was the schedule and how much of it was the staff being shuffled around? Do you think this being the second year with this new staff that they'll like have a better schedule written out for OTAs and stuff?
Well, one thing that came to mind was this cryptic little article I written. I forget who wrote it, but it was Jeff Saturday kind of being the narc of, oh my gosh, we've gone beyond the CBA requirements. We've practiced too long. We put pads on, and they were worried about getting ratted out.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude. And it came out that because he was one of he was an enforcer, was kind of nerking out the pack.
Dude, screw Jeff Saturday, dude. What a waste that was. And we didn't even get a center in this draft either, so we basically wasted.
Yeah,
Can we pick some guy up?
Yep, UDFA. There's a center.
All right, so we got an undrafted free agent center. That hardly
Patrick
counts.
Patrick Lewis
the guy,
from Texas A&M.
The guy might not even freaking make it out of training camp if he's an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, one of these powerhouse schools. He got lined up.
I think
Evan Dietrich
Smith was a UDFA.
Yeah, and they had to bring Jeff Saturday in, and not until Jeff Saturday had like three legs in the grave in the middle of a game were they willing to put Evan Dietrich Smith in.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was sad that the Packers didn't draft Barrett Jones. Yes, he had the Lisfranc injury, but I think he was great. I was surprised that a center, Franklin from Wisconsin, went so early in the first round. But this was a weird draft. It's like it was heavy on big, beefy guys, and you were pretty much football herpes if you were a quarterback this year.
Oh, God.
Yay, 1, 2, 3, not it. Don't want Geno Smith. 1, 2, 3, not it.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast today. I didn't listen to any podcasts on my days off, and I listened to one. It was from, like, last Wednesday or last Tuesday, and they were talking about, like, worst-case scenario, Geno Smith falls to, like, 8, 9, or 10 or something like that, and he didn't even get drafted in the first round.
And now the Jets have 6 quarterbacks?
Oh no, that's not no high drama there. It's like Geno, I feel bad for the kid. He was definitely the football herpes of the draft. He kind of fell like a rock. Aaron Rodgers took pity on him. I was like, hang in there, buddy. But then he gets drafted by the crappiest, most drama-filled team in the league. It's like, hi, you've got Sanchez and Tebow. Have fun with that. The media's not going to have a complete circus.
And who's their offensive coordinator there? Is it Marty Morningwig?
Is it now? It could be.
They fired Sperano.
They hired somebody else.
Sperano. I thought it was a familiar name.
I think you're right.
Yep. But what? It's like one giant sack of drama in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It always is. It always has been.
they'll get rid of Sanchez and Tebow at some point this year, don't you think?
They can't get rid of Sanchez. They owe him too much money. Tebow.
Yeah, but they could bench him and let David Garrard play and then put Geno Smith behind him and then just
yep.
Because if they can pay Sanchez to sit on the bench, and that's cheaper than if they cut him, right? Because if they cut him, they take a tax penalty.
Yeah, I think it's a huge financial hit if they cut him. They might make him be the backup. I mean, it's hard to say.
But talk about wasted cap. But he's not good.
No, he's not great. But Geno Smith will be better, I suspect. Sanchez is better than either.
Then meanwhile, it's like everyone was homering, hoping that Jordan Rodgers would fall into the Packers' lap, which I don't think would have been a good idea. I would never want to work the same job as my brother. But
see what happened to Carson Palmer and his brother.
Yeah. The good news is he got picked up and gets to go to warmer climates. The bad news is the baby Rodgers is going to Jacksonville, which means I hope he likes London.
Jacksonville made some really good picks this year, though. I think this new owner, I like the Jaguars.
I like the Jaguars owner. He's got a huge heart. He really does.
I think they might end up getting better. I'm not going to say they're going to be good, but I think they could be getting better. So, I wish Jordan the best. I hope he lands well. I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but if he gets a solid backup job with somebody, and
why are they giving up on Blaine Gabbert? Has he even played 1 year as a quarterback?
He sucks.
I mean, how bad was he?
Fucking dead tone. Straw bad.
Really?
Yes.
Dead toads through a straw. That's how bad he sucks.
He sucks gopher balls.
I didn't realize. So of that class, there's Ryan Mallett and Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder.
Yeah, Ponder might be the best one. How's that?
Ponder is he's the best of that class so far.
And they're all stinking terrible.
Yep. It's
what a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I think that Minnesota upgraded on their offense significantly, but they forget who's throwing the ball, so it doesn't really matter. It's a wash.
Yeah.
And then there's my brother, who's now predicting Packers will be lucky if they're 8-8, and the Lions are going to win it all. I'm like, Jay, do you remember who's coaching? It's like they have the discipline of a toddler told no.
Yeah,
he said Lions?
Your brother said Lions.
Okay, your brother's scaring me now.
I mean, I know all the NFC North games are, you know, they're always close, but the Packers, they went undefeated in the NFC North last year, didn't they? Or did they only lose one game? They lost one game to the Vikings, right?
Well, here's the deal.
Did they go 5-1?
5-1. Here's the deal. They will, as long as Cutler and Ponder are the quarterbacks for two of the NFC North teams, I'm not too worried.
Yeah.
I think,
and as long as Jim Schwartz is a coach, you're not worried.
Yeah, exactly. The Lions, yeah, they have the potential to have this hella scary offense, but they have no self discipline.
Right.
It's like you get Stafford throwing a couple crazy throws into South America. Jim Schwartz loses his proverbial shit, and they all fall apart.
Yeah.
The only thing is, if I was other NFC North teams, I would see the Packers as Aaron Rodgers, and that's it. And I really, and even after this draft, I know that, you know, people are excited about Daytona Jones or whatever, but I really feel like they're really, the only way the Packers win is if he can put six games together at the end of the season like they did in 2010, and they're comfortable with that, of putting enough talent around him that if he gets hot, they'll win. And yeah, they can win any year that he gets hot like that, but how often is something like that going to happen? There's not like a system in place or a defense in place to kind of bail them out. It's basically Aaron Rodgers, and that's it.
And speaking of our quarterbacks, yeah, you need him to be hot because, God forbid, Graham Harrell come in.
Right.
I think the fact that we didn't really – I think we picked up a quarterback in free agency today, right? Yes, no, maybe.
We didn't draft
a quarterback this year, does that mean that Mike McCarthy – has enough faith in B.J. Coleman being the backup? Because, like I said before, it's like Rodgers leaves for 30 seconds and Graham Harrell sets the whole kitchen on fire. It's like, God, how bad could you screw it up? Wow, we really did screw it up bad.
They love both of those guys. I don't know if it's like, I feel like some of these NFL teams they should pay like an outside consultant a couple times a year to come and watch watch their practice and watch their game tape and tell them, nah, this guy's garbage, can't play, get rid of this guy. Because when you work with these guys every day and you develop a project and you give them little benchmarks and you try to improve on whatever, you kind of lose sight of the fact that, yeah, you're giving them stuff to work on, and yeah, maybe he's coming to the film room and he can show you stuff, and yeah, maybe he's doing something on the sideline that you like, but ultimately, the guy sucks.
Well,
and like last year, we saw he goes into the game and he fumbles a snap. All he had to do was hand it off and score a touchdown. Yeah, he was an inch away from a touchdown. All he had to do was one thing, and he screwed it up.
Well, it's kind of like fostering puppies. You get attached to them, and when it's time for them to go to another home, it's like, oh, no, I can't let go.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they let Matt Flynn walk. Who here was watching the draft when everyone thought that the Raiders were going to draft Geno Smith? They're like, please, no, please, no. Don't screw Maddie over again.
The only – I saw a bunch of the jokes, and if Reggie McKenzie wasn't there, I would have thought for sure they picked him. But since Reggie McKenzie was there and he just got Matt Flynn and they have Terrell Pryor on their roster, I didn't think that they were going to go and get – Geno Smith.
Yeah, I was the same way, Richard. I was like, when I heard they might get Geno Smith, I went, if I was Matt Flynn and somebody actually did that to me, I would be hurling shit at my TV. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be breaking up my house because it's like, the poor guy, really.
I know.
And yes, the thing that kept me from thinking that would happen is Reggie McKenzie wouldn't do that to him. Because
however,
yeah.
I was still thinking, please, Flying Spaghetti Monster, don't screw over Matt.
Right.
Like, come on. Give the guy, I mean, he may fall flat on his face. I have never been... really quiet about the fact that I'm really not sure how Matt will do as a starting quarterback, but give him this chance, my God.
But I mean, we're for sure going to get to see how he is. They gave Carson Palmer like 20 starts in Oakland. Like, we're going to be able to, we're going to see what Matt Flynn's got, for sure, unless he gets hurt.
And I hope he does well. I really, especially since he's in the AFC, God bless him, go for it. Just don't.
However, they're only predicted to like win 2-4 games this year.
Yeah, but I don't buy into that. I mean, you never know. If people jump up and down so much, like, what is San Diego? Like, Elway is a sack away from being paralyzed. And who else is in that division? Kansas City won one game last year, or two games or something. Like, you never know what's going to happen.
So it looks like we're coming to the end of that show. I'm getting the flags for, oh my gosh, we're talking too much again. So, yeah.
Bye, Al.
I mean, we went over our entire outline.
Yeah, we did. We are the podcast that talks too much, but oh well. Hopefully we're not painfully boring in the process.
No, it's good. That hour only felt like 3 hours.
3 hours. I think it was interesting this year that we all were assigned a different position to kind of research as we headed into the draft. I for one, learned a lot about the defensive line that I never knew before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is Out of the Pocket. It's a draft weekend. We have new players. I'm Kelly. She's Colleen. He is our despotic little dictator and production guru, Richard Chang of DicksFavorite.com. Tune in soon, and we'll have another Monday night of Packers.